Let us begin with prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts with faithful, and enkindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and we shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructs the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. St. Paul Apostle, Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to talk about following up in the post-crucial. Do you believe that this is going well in your diocese? Do sponsors and team members follow up on the new crucistas after the weekend? You have that answer for your diocese. Think about that. In Crucio, the most effective method that we have, obviously, is the three phases: the pre-Crucio, Crucio, and post-Crucio. The beauty of our method lies in its recurring nature. Its recurring nature. What is that? Well, the pre-Crucio leads to the Crucio, and the Crucio leads to the post-Crucio, and in turn, the post-Crucio leads back to the pre-Crucio, creating a continuous harmony of love and friendship. That's what we have, right? Creating a harmony of love and friendship. So, you know, in the United States, when I became the National Crucio Coordinator and I started traveling across the United States, we were still in that three-day mentality. You know, we gotta schedule another weekend. And then after that weekend, the secretary had a meeting to talk about the next weekend. So we had that weekend-itis mentality. Now, since 2003, I firmly believe that we have continued to move closer and closer to the fullness of our charism, which is a charism of friendship with self, Christ, and others. You know, we accompany our friends, as you know, in the pre-crucial. When they are seeking or searching something which later they discover is someone, Jesus Christ. We accompany our friends in the Crucio when they are encountering themselves, Christ, and others. And then in the post-Crucio, we also accompany them, or should accompany them, when they are following Christ. Following Christ. In Crucio, we, the leaders, are not looking for followers. Right? We are not looking for followers. We want every single Cruciista to follow Jesus Christ. Well, let me tell you a true story. We were at the Altrea, and the men's and the women's weekend had just happened. And so as we're walking out of the Altrea, and we had it in a small chapel, one of the new Cruciistas, I heard him tell another Cruciista who was wearing this colorful, what do you call that? Lanyard with colorful beads and then a crucifix. So the new Cruciista was admiring that lanyard, right? And so he told the other Crucista who was wearing it, he says, "Where can I get one of those?" And here's the response. True story. He says, "I will get you all these lanyards, all the lanyards that you want, as long as you follow me." His exact words were, "As long as you follow me." So we have to be careful in our diocese. You know, we as laity tend to become spiritual directors for the new Christians. Anyway, I'll talk more about that. We have to be careful. What I'd like to share next is something that you're going to find in the Structure of Ideas book. And the Structure of Ideas book is written by Eduardo. And so this was his concern or his statement. He said, it is typical for the Cruciista who has recently lived the experience of the triple encounter to have a similar experience to what happened to the blind man that Jesus cured. For the blind man, the trees looked like men, and the men looked like trees, in the sense that all was good. All that is Christian seemed valid for him. What usually happens in the first stage of the post-crucio is that the new cruciista is contacted by other cruciistas or someone from the parish who are working in some parish ministry or program who want the cruciista to pour out his generosity in their affairs, in their apostolate, in their ministry. You and I, that's the end of the quote. You and I understand that this is not the purpose of the post-crucio. So it is crucial to accompany our friends in the post-crucio. And this reminded me that Eduardo Bonin said, the crucio weekend is a point of departure. A point of departure or a journey outwards back into the world. And it reminded me that if we don't have someone who can accompany us, like my sponsor or like one of the team leaders or the entire team, we come full of love out of that weekend and full of generosity. So anything that you ask me to, that you want me to help you with or to join a group with you, et cetera, et cetera, I'm going to do it because I discovered on my weekend that Jesus Christ loves me unconditionally. So my heart is full of love. And if you ask me to go help you with whatever at the parish, I'm probably going to say yes. But Eduardo Bonin, our founder, is saying, hold on. Stop. We can't abuse their generosity. This is what I think he was referring to. That if someone is there to explain to the new cruciista, you know, it's really not about doing a lot of things. And it's really not about joining all the parish ministries or the Knights of Columbus or whatever. All you need to do is be Christian where you are at this exact moment. So I found this quote from Pope Francis. He spoke, he wrote on accompaniment. So what does it mean to follow up with our friend in the post-crucio? It is essential to stay connected with our friends after the crucio. We must continue to pray, support, encourage, and walk with our friends, particularly during the post-crucio. We should not assume that our support is no longer needed after the crucio. This is when our friends need us the most. It is crucial to have souls encounter Christ, but it is even more important to motivate our friends to follow Christ. So here's what the Pope said. Pope Francis proposes a culture of encounter and accompaniment. Encounter and accompaniment. Standing by people, he says, at every step of the way, no matter how difficult or how long it takes, this may prove to be. With patient expectation and apostolic endurance, the art of accompaniment teaches us to remove our sandals before the sacred ground of the other. Isn't that beautiful? The art of accompaniment teaches us to remove our sandals before the sacred ground of the other. And to show preference to those who are maybe far away or those who are being overlooked, while we may feel that we are not equipped for such a mission, the Holy Father reminds us that whenever we take a step towards Jesus, we realize that He's already there. The joy of the gospel is for all people. And he continues, may each of us strive to renew and deepen our relationship with God and strive to meet every challenge as a leaven of gospel witness. End quote. Now, if there are some of you in the audience that who don't feel equipped for the mission, I have a quote from you from St. Philip Neri. Or Neri, I don't know exactly, but he says, cast yourselves into the arms of God and be very sure that if He wants you to do anything, He will equip you. He will fit you for the work and He will give you the strength. End quote. The role of accompaniment can be challenging. Here are some other quotes from Pope Francis. We should always respect our friends' freedom. Very important. Yet they must also be accompanied. We must continue approaching our friends with the language of love. We should continue the closeness that we created in the precursio that originated through friendship. Friendship, he says, is one of life's gifts and grace from God. The Lord refines us through our friends and He leads us to maturity. If you remember, Jesus accompanied the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He accompanied His apostles during critical times and events. When we journey together, we can firmly be rooted in the present and from here revisit the past and look to the future. End quote. The art of accompaniment is to walk with our friends. In Crucio, we walk with our friends in the pre-Crucio, Crucio, and post-Crucio. We are on a journey, but we are not there yet. We don't know what lies ahead. In Crucio, to accompany means to walk alongside our friend. We walk at his or her pace, not mine. Here's three concerns that I want to share with you when we are accompanying our friends in the post-Crucio. One of the challenges is paternalism. Paternalism is the protective father figure who wants to control and make decisions for others. This will limit the person's freedom and responsibilities. It's okay to think, okay, you know, I'm going to take this new Crucista under my wing and kind of, you know, walk with him. But it's another to become his spiritual director. It's another thing to want him or her to pray the same prayers that you pray or to read the same books that you pray. I mean, read. The second concern, which is the opposite of paternalism, is abandonment. Wow, abandonment. Some Crucistas do not persevere in the post-Crucio because they were abandoned after the weekend, not only by the person who sponsored them, but also by the leaders who proclaimed the message on the weekend. You know, in today's world of technology, you know, we have all kinds of apps to remind us of things, you know, we need to do. We have calendars on our phones to set things, events and what have you, meetings. And sometimes in Cursillo, it's like, if I go and serve as a rector for the men's weekend, once I'm done, I grab my phone and I go to the calendar and it's done. Or I go to my reminder list and I click on complete. And what happens is that for some reason, that rector or rectora abandons Cursillo for the rest of the year, for the rest of the time, until the next weekend comes up. Y'all need help? Here I am. So, you know, abandonment. And I've seen some Cursillistas, you know, they walk out of the closing right into the world, back into the world. And it can be a little frightening thinking about how will my family receive me now or see me now? What about my coworkers? What are they going to think of me now? Or all kinds of thoughts are going in the mind. So we have to be there to assure them that it's going to be okay. After the Cursillo, which is a post-Cursillo, we must be careful not to assign new commitments to our friends. The Cursillo weekend does not give each person a task list to accomplish in their fourth day. No. So we have to respect their dignity and their freedom. We must also practice the art of listening to people's underlying questions about their Cursillo experience. Our founder proposes we briefly explain the royos to the Cursillistas. That doesn't mean you have to give the entire royos. I'm going to explain that later. To the new Cursillistas who are beginning their post-Cursillo. He and Francisco Forteza explain the concept of the lay royos on page 19 of the manifesto, but you can also find that concept in the Thinking of Eduardo Bonin book. So here's the sequence of the royos, and it's going to be something very brief that we can share with them after the weekend. So he talks about something called the adjustment of Cursillo into their daily life, into their reality. In other words, how do I live out the message of the weekend, the royos, into my daily life, into the reality that surrounds me? This refers to a readjustment to the measure of the intentionality of the royos to determine if my friend understood each royo, if he understood them now, or did not understand them. So Eduardo is trying to help us to show our friend, to show him his ability to Christianize his reality internally and externally, and then to place him in a situation of sanctifying power. The first one, the following two royos is supposed to help the person show his ability. The ideal royo, the Cursillista heard, he could be more and be better. Simple. In the ideal royo, the message was, I can be more and I can be better. In the layperson, Christian in the world, the royo told us that we could be better or be more from where I am. I don't have to go anywhere special to be more and be better. I can be it now from where I am. The following four royos help the person Christianize his reality internally. The piety royal, in the piety royal, the person discovered his heart through spontaneity. In the study royal, He learned to apply his intelligence with conviction. In the action royal, he learned to decisively put his will in motion. And in the leader's royal, he achieves a total self-surrender. So the following three royals help the person Christianize his reality externally. In the study of the environment royal, taught him to accept that his reality is made up of other people, whom he can help through living the Christianity in action royal. In the Crucista beyond the Crucio royal, it showed him to help others through personal witness. And in the last royal, it helps place the person or a friend in a situation of sanctifying power, which is the total security royal, the group reunion and Nutreya, which encourages him to do everything in friendship. So then what Eduardo does, he puts it all together in one paragraph. He gives you a summary, and it goes like this. The Cruciista can be more and be better. He can do so from where he is, when he discovers his heart through spontaneity and applies his intelligence with conviction, exercising his will with decisiveness and self-surrender. And if the Cruciista accepts that his reality is made up of other people that he can help, he can do so through personal witness and accomplish everything through friendship. That makes sense? Eduardo told us that Crucio has a simple profile. The tree of Crucio has a simple profile. So this is it in a nutshell. And so we, sponsors, we, team leaders, we need to find time to meet with our friends in the post-Crucio, just like we did in the pre-Crucio, and share some of these stories, if you will, with them. So we obviously, the new Cruciista is now living in his post-Crucio in his fourth day. So we need to remind him about the group reunion, which the importance of the group reunion is so that we don't fail to be Christian. The purpose of the group reunion is to make possible for each one what is necessary for all. The normal, lasting, and joyful living together of our lives as Christians. In the Crucio, a person becomes holy. In the post-Crucio, we place him in a stable, free, dynamic, and sanctifying position, which is his group reunion. The Cruciista should strive to advance his holiness through his piety, study, and action, and his group reunion. The group reunion is the second part of Crucio's in Christianity. In it, Crucio becomes lasting, and Christianity becomes constant. Everything that is lived as a Christian should be lived together. The group reunion is only a means for living together that Christianity that each one lives or wants to live. The most profound form of living, as we have heard many times, is friendship. Therefore, the group reunion is friendship raised to the transcendental sphere, friendship converted into permanent actual grace. We must bear in mind that group reunions are not held so that there may be people to attend Crucios, but the Crucios are held so that there may be people to make a group reunion, and that the Crucio is the best means we know of putting the soul at the necessary level to make a group reunion. The purpose of the groups is to make it possible for each member to do what is necessary for all. Normal, lasting, and joyful living together. So this basically confirms what I've been telling the diocese. What happens during the three-day Crucio is that we listen to 15 royals. That's a lot of information, right? I mean, by Sunday, The cruisistas are sitting there trying to take notes, but already their mind is back home. I'll be seeing my family pretty soon. So my mind has already checked out, in other words. So then here comes one of the very important royals, the total security royal. But by then, their mind is saturated with so much information that the group reunion and Treya Royal are running off their back. Plus, I'm already outside of the Crucio, mentally. Physically, I'm there, but mentally, I checked out. Especially when I heard the director says, at 10:30, you're going to have a 15-minute break to go and pack your bags. But what does that mean? I'll go pack my bags and I'm gone. Right? So I said, it is crucial, it is vital that we as leaders and sponsors reiterate the importance of group reunion and Treya. Group reunion and Treya are not ends in themselves. They are a means for perseverance. So we need to take time to sit down one-on-one or group reunion with a couple of the new cruisistas or whatever, however you want to do it, but to bring up things like, don't forget, there's, for your perseverance, we promise that we will have an Treya for you, and we should. And if you need us to help you with finding a group, you let us know. But we don't assign people to groups. They have total freedom to select whom they want to meet with. So remember that. We've got to bring up the group reunion and Treya again in the post-crucio. Because if nobody comes to clarify that for me, I'm going to be looking for a place to go and serve. And usually, people go to the parish. Now, Eduardo was not against people going to the parish and joining the parish ministry. No. But his concern was that if the pastors are drawing in the people into those ministries, he said, we are removing, or we're taking away the cruciista's normal place to be Christian, which is in the world. Not in the parish. You know, our role is to go back into the world. But if I'm so busy in the parish, and I've joined three ministries, and I'm looking to join the Knights of Columbus or whatever. The new cruciistas continue to fill up, stack their plate. And by the time you know it, we have to remind them, hey, slow down. Remember I told you that being Christian is not about doing a lot of Christian things? Remember that you have a family. Remember that you have a job. And remember that you have other commitments. What happens is a new cruciista can get so busy that we tend to slack off on our piety, study, and action. And if we do that, then our relationship with Christ is going to suffer. My relationship with my wife and kids is going to suffer. And even my job could suffer as well. Because I'm so tired because now I'm having 4 or 5 meetings in the parish every week. Now, again, nobody is saying that cruciistas should not work in the parish ministries. No, that is not the message. So another thing that Eduardo mentions in the structure of ideas is called the apprenticeship period. Remember somebody said yesterday that we are all apprentices? And Eduardo said it himself. He's an apprentice Christian. So there is an apprenticeship period in the post-crucio. We should not, as leaders or sponsors, demand too much doing from the cruciistas in the apprenticeship period. During the Crucio, a restlessness capable of resolving problems has been driven home to the Crucistas. The restlessness must always be kept alive, vibrant, and active. And see, that's what's happened. The Crucistas are restless, and they want to be doing something. They want action. During the first days after the Crucio, the luster of the truth, recently discovered, sends the Crucistas toward the path of holiness with renewed courage. Through God's grace, it is up to him to pilot his soul to stay on course. The joyful and conscious contribution of his enthusiasm, dedication, and spirit of charity in every circumstance will continue to mark out the vocation that belongs to him. That's another thing that Crucio does for us, is to mark out the path of holiness with renewed courage so that we can find our vocation. Remind your friend, your new Crucista, and this is not going to be like you standing up in a podium and telling your friend all this. It's going to be a one-on-one sharing in friendship through normal conversation, okay? So we want to encourage my friend, your friend, to continue to contribute his enthusiasm. You remember those three things the rector asked us for on Thursday? You know, please give us your enthusiasm, dedication, and spirit of charity, right? So this continues in the Crucio and it follows into the post-Crucio. So encourage him to continue that. And we're talking about enthusiasm. By accepting his circumstances to joyfully, because these are the means that God gives him to become holy. By looking with new eyes at the same things he has always looked at, and by seeking greater possibilities. Ask him to contribute his dedication by not letting success or failure get out of control. By sharing his new life with his brothers and sisters in Christ. By asking for and assuming greater responsibilities at his pace, not my pace. Ask him to continue to contribute his spirit of charity in his environments, even though they may be unfriendly at times. And by assuming responsibility for what others may not see clearly. And by loving God and neighbor. And this is what happens if we don't continue our enthusiasm, dedication, and spirit of charity. This is what could happen. If his enthusiasm is not centered on Christ, he will want to be like so-and-so. Oh, I want to be like Joe. No, I want to be like Charlie. You know, he will want to be like so-and-so. No. You want to be the person that God created you to be. If he's not centered on Christ, his enthusiasm is not centered on Christ, he will believe he is an exception and will become discouraged. If his dedication is not centered on Christ, he will release ideas without the environment being ready to accept them. And I know you've probably gone through this experience before. I know I have. I will throw out an idea and reject it without any conversation because, no, that's not going to work here, Seth. And especially if we do things like this. The new Crucista comes to the School of Leaders and he'll recommend something or he shares an idea. Oh, no. You're a new Crucista, so you know, I've been in Crucio for 30 years, so we know what's what. You have to wait a while. You know. It happens, right? It happens in our Crucio. If his dedication is not centered on Christ, he will think he is something, you know, or he will think he is nothing. But we were cautioned about that during our Crucial weekend, right, on Sunday. If his dedication is not centered on Christ, he will believe he is self-sufficient and does not believe in group or community effectiveness. In other words, I got my path, you got yours. If his spirit of charity is not centered on Christ, he will believe that Crucio is the only way for salvation and to go to heaven. You know, we can't do that. There's many other movements and what have you that retreats that can introduce people to Christ. If his charity is not centered on Christ, he will believe that every Catholic must be a Crucista. And I've had phone calls from lay directors. Seth, we're missing a big opportunity. We need to get all Catholics through Crucio. Remember when I said you got to prepare the environment for your idea, because otherwise you're going to be told that idea is not the purpose of Crucio. If his spirit of charity is not centered on Christ, he will want to be the holy bully of God's church. You know, I've had friends call me, you know, Seth, I don't like what's happening in Crucio. People are at each other's throats and on. So he says, I think my wife and I are going to leave Crucio and go to a parish ministry or something else. So I told him, I said, look, I know you're talking about two or three people in Crucio that might be making life hard for you. I said, I can guarantee you that those two or three people are going to be in the other group too. I said, the grass may look greener on the other side, but I can guarantee you it's not. And it's true, right? We're all unique. There's four social styles of behavior, and they're all sitting in this room. Every style of behavior or temperament is taking in what I'm saying in their own way. You're processing what I'm saying in your own way, based on your temperament. And so when you go home, you're going to have certain things that you wrote down about what I said. Terry, you might take home something else. Penny, something else. But it's all good, because we do the same thing in Mass. There's one gospel message, but all the different temperaments are taking in that gospel message in their own and processing it in their own mind. And as long as we take something home, everything's good. Okay. So he talks about piloting your life. But actually, the word he uses in the structure of ideas is to pilot your soul. He gives you an example. He says, every car has a dial on the dashboard that shows you the speed, the fuel, RPM, or whatever else you have in your car. The one who seriously proposes to be the pilot of his soul must be able at every point to have all his resources reflected in a single dial, to put them to use at any moment with a view to efficacy. Having an inventory of the practical resources on hand gives a greater consciousness of what is being done and what can be done with enthusiasm. And please listen to the next part, because it's really interesting. God places us, according to Eduardo, according to our founder, God places us in four distinct realities in our lives. However, some people may not be aware of these four realities. So to gain enlightenment and be able to enlighten others, it is crucial that we acknowledge and actively live within these four realities. Our aim should be to align our will with the will of God. And as I go through these four realities, I can almost guarantee you that you have already gone through those realities. I know I have. And you're going to be able to recognize it in your life. The first reality is called the area of responsibility, which refers to what God wants in your life so that you may become a saint. So that you may become a saint. I would venture to say that most of the people, most Christians, are not even thinking that we can become saints. But here's what I share with people. I said, do you want to go to heaven? Yes. Do you want to go right now? No. In heaven, there are only saints. Right? In heaven, there are only saints. So if our goal in piloting our soul is to get to heaven, to be with the most holy Trinity and the angels and saints, then we must be holy. We must be holy. Otherwise, we're going somewhere else. And according to Ralph Martin, the Renewal Ministries CEO, he gave us a talk at in Philadelphia, in Villanova University. He says, some people like to aim for purgatory. He says, but what if you miss? He says, no name for purgatory. Let's be saints now. You know, we think about saints as our pope, our bishops, our priests, our deacons, our religious. No, we are all the body of Christ. God wants everyone, all our souls back. Anyway, the first area is the area of responsibility. We come to a full sense of the dignity and the lay faithful if we consider the prime and fundamental vocation that the Father assigns to each one of us in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, the vocation to holiness. That is the perfection of charity. You know, you've read in the Bible, Jesus telling the apostles and everyone else, be holy as my heavenly Father, or be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. So what does perfect mean? What is perfection? Well, according to Eduardo right here, perfection is holiness. The call to holiness, the call to perfection is the same thing as the call to holiness. This area of responsibility encompasses all the aspects of your life where you can exert a specific and intentional influence, such as your family, your workplace, social life, leisure time. However, we often get involved in apostolic action outside of our responsibility, which causes us to neglect our God-given environments. So the area of responsibility. And I'm hoping that you're recognizing that you have already gone through that or have gone through that. The second reality is the area of being centered, which pertains to your piety, study, and action and close moment to Christ, which we review using the service sheet. It is about keeping your heart, mind, and will in harmony with God's will. If you stop praying, studying, and surrendering your will to God, you will not be able to fulfill this area of being centered on Christ and the first area, which is the area of responsibility, will not be effective. To remain responsible and centered on Christ, it is essential to maintain a Christ-centered life by practicing your piety, study, and action. The third reality is the area of providence, which encompasses areas beyond our control and can only only be influenced through prayer. For instance, when God allows an illness or death in our family, all we can do is ask for prayer and pray ourselves. When your tripod is centered on Christ, this situation may be a little easier to accept. So, but we have to realize that there's nothing we can do because it's the area of providence. The fourth is the area of ideas, which refers to ideas, aspirations, and preferences projected in the infinite field of God's providence. People are driven by ideas, whether they are essential, important, or accidental. For instance, you may aspire to become the next lay director, a store manager, or maybe get a degree in theology. Whatever your ideas, aspirations, or plans may be, if these four areas that I just mentioned are not in harmony with God's will, it is possible that you may not be enlightened to discover your vocation, your place in the church. These four areas can become cloudy when your life and will are not centered on Christ. The area of responsibility turns to the impossible. The area of being centered turns into something that cannot be accomplished. The area of providence turns into something without a solution. The area of ideas can turn into something that seems way too far to reach. So in closing, accompanying a friend in the post-crucio requires a dynamic disposition driven by enthusiasm and constantly renewed by grace. Offer your friend to be an accountable friend. Check in with him or her periodically to see how your friend is doing with living out his crucio experience in the normality of life. Encourage your friend to reflect on their crucio experience. Ask questions like, what insights did you gain during your crucio? How did you feel during your moments close to Christ? What activities or royals resonated with you? Help them apply what they learned about group reunion, Ultrea, and visits to the Blessed Sacrament, etc. These are things to remind them. Suggest that your friends set aside regular time to reflect on their service sheet, piety, study, and action, close moment. Suggest to your friend to practice being present to himself, to Christ, and to others daily by reflecting, who am I, who is Christ, and who are my brothers and sisters? The three encounters. Encourage your friend to apply the crucio principle to his relationships, especially in the family, his workplace, and the decisions he makes. Encourage your friend to connect with others who attended the same crucio. Community support can reinforce our spiritual growth. Encourage your friend to attend follow-up gatherings, such as group reunion, Ultrea, and other crucio activities, to make friends, share personal experience, and to listen to others' witnesses. Remember, the goal is to help your friend maintain the crucio's positive impact and ongoing conversion so he can deepen his relationship with God and his neighbor through friendship. Consistency matters more than intensity. Small daily practices build a strong foundation for spiritual growth. My brothers and sisters, thank you for practicing the art of accompaniment with your friends in the post-crucio, in the pre-crucio, crucio, and post-crucio. Remember to love God, to be attentive to the person, and to make friends for Christ. We give you thanks, Almighty God, for all the benefits you have given us, you who live and reign forever and ever. Amen.